What if one person could embody an entire nation's spirit before that nation fully existed? Benjamin Franklin didn't just witness America's birth, he helped design its DNA. Born in 1723 as the 15th child of a Boston candlemaker, he died in 1790 as one of the world's most celebrated figures, mourned by 20,000 Philadelphians and the French National Assembly alike. His journey from runaway apprentice to founding father reads like fiction, yet it's the quintessential American story. Franklin was a printer who became a diplomat, a tradesman who revolutionized science, a practical businessman who shaped constitutional government. He proved that in America, you could write your own script. His life wasn't just remarkable. It was a blueprint for a new kind of society where merit mattered more than birthright, where curiosity could coexist with commerce, and where one person's success could fuel everyone's progress. Picture a 17-year-old walking down Market Street in Philadelphia, penniless and munching on a large roll, the embodiment of reinvention. Franklin had broken his apprenticeship with his brother James and arrived where nobody knew his past. Despite barely 2 years of formal schooling, young Benjamin devoured every book he could borrow. At 12, apprenticed to his brother's printing shop, Franklin secretly wrote essays as Silence Duguid, a fictional middle-aged widow whose witty commentary delighted readers. When James discovered the deception, their relationship shattered. But those essays taught Franklin that words could create reality. You could craft a persona and make people believe it. Working for printer Samuel Keimer, Franklin made sure people saw him pushing wheelbarrows of paper through the streets, projecting tireless industry. Franklin didn't just build a printing business, he built community infrastructure. In 1727, he formed the Gento, a club of tradesmen meeting weekly to discuss philosophy and practical improvements. Think 18th century book club meets civic think tank. From the Gento sprang America's first subscription library in 1731, making expensive books democratic tools through collective purchasing. When fires devastated neighborhoods, he organized the Union Fire Company, America's first volunteer fire department. His academy, founded in 1749, became the University of Pennsylvania, teaching practical subjects, English, modern languages, geography, navigation, knowledge useful for commerce and citizenship. Notice the pattern. Identify problem, devise solution, organize participants, implement change. He didn't wait for government or wealthy patrons. He organized fellow citizens to address shared needs through voluntary associations, civil society operating independently of government. This approach became distinctly American. Franklin revolutionized science with a distinctly practical approach. Where European natural philosophers pursued abstract theory, Franklin asked, "What's this good for?" His improved fireplace addressed real problems. Traditional fireplaces wasted heat and filled rooms with smoke. The Franklin stove demonstrated his method. Observe a problem, apply rational analysis, develop a solution, then share it freely. He refused patents, believing knowledge should serve everyone. Electricity was poorly understood in the 1740s, more parlor trick than science. Franklin's methodical experiments transformed it into legitimate inquiry. He developed fundamental concepts like conservation of charge and distinguished conductors from insulators. His revolutionary theory proposed electricity as a single fluid that could be present in excess, positive, or deficient, negative, founding all future electrical science. Then came the kite experiment. Flying a kite during a thunderstorm sounds insane. Others died attempting it. But Franklin's careful design, using a key on the string, standing in dry shelter, touching it only with an insulated rod, demonstrated both boldness and prudence. This discovery led to the lightning rod, protecting buildings from destruction. Pure Franklin, theoretical insight yielding practical benefit. European scientific societies showered him with honors. Harvard, Yale, Oxford, and St. Andrews awarded honorary degrees, and the Royal Society gave him the Copley Medal. Franklin became America's first internationally renowned intellectual, yet called his electrical work merely philosophical amusements. Science wasn't about ego, it was about understanding nature to improve human life. Franklin's transformation into a revolutionary unfolded gradually over decades. In 1757, he sailed to London representing Pennsylvania's Assembly, expecting a brief stay. He remained 18 years, becoming the unofficial ambassador between Britain and America from his Craven Street residence. The 1765 Stamp Act crisis began shifting his perspective. His parliamentary testimony against it revealed growing alignment with colonial interests. Though Parliament's repeal seemed to restore harmony, subsequent British policies, the Townshend Acts and coercive measures after the Boston Tea Party, gradually convinced him reconciliation was impossible. The final break came in January 1774, when Solicitor General Alexander Wedderburn publicly humiliated him before the Privy Council, denouncing him as thief and traitor. The conciliator became a revolutionary. Returning to Philadelphia in 1775 at age 70, Franklin threw himself into independence with remarkable energy. Elected to the Second Continental Congress, he served on the committee drafting the Declaration of Independence. Most critically, Congress appointed him commissioner to France, where his diplomatic genius proved essential to American victory. Franklin's 1776 mission to France was America's last hope. At 70, crossing the Atlantic in winter risked death. But without French support, military aid, loans, supplies, independence was impossible. His strategy was brilliant theater, abandoning powdered wigs for plain brown suits and a fur cap. This calculated rusticity enchanted the French, who saw him embodying Republican ideals. Franklin became a celebrity, his image everywhere. Beneath the charm lay shrewd calculation. To the public, he emphasized liberty versus tyranny. With officials like Foreign Minister Vergennes, he stressed weakening Britain and accessing American markets. The February 1778 Treaty of Alliance secured crucial French support with remarkably favorable terms. He also arranged loans, organized shipments, and recruited officers, all with minimal staff and months-long communications. In 1782 peace negotiations, Franklin secured extraordinary Treaty of Paris terms, independence recognition, vast territorial gains, and fishing rights. When France protested Americans negotiating separately, Franklin's masterful letter both acknowledged the breach and justified it as necessary. The charming rustic was a diplomatic genius who knew exactly when to bend rules. At 79, plagued by gout and kidney stones, Franklin attended the Constitutional Convention in a sedan chair. When the convention nearly collapsed over representation, large states demanding proportional representation, small states insisting on equality, Franklin proposed the solution: a bicameral legislature with proportional representation in the House, equal representation in the Senate. This great compromise established Congress's enduring structure. Near the convention's end, Franklin urged unanimous approval despite reservations. "I confess that there are several parts of this Constitution which I do not at present approve, but I am not sure I shall never approve them. Thus I consent, sir, to this Constitution because I expect no better and because I am not sure that it is not the best." This pragmatism, accepting imperfection while working toward improvement, defined his political philosophy. Franklin's final public act addressed slavery. In February 1790, months before his death, he signed an abolition petition to Congress. When Southern representatives reacted angrily, he responded with brilliant satire, a piece purportedly by an Algerian official defending enslaving Christians. Having once owned slaves himself, Franklin's evolution demonstrated lifelong capacity for moral growth. When Franklin died on April 17, 1790, 20,000 people attended his funeral. The French National Assembly observed 3 days of mourning. Franklin embodied a distinctly American approach: practical achievement with intellectual inquiry, private success with public service. From Edison to Jobs, American innovators followed his model of useful creativity. His refusal to patent inventions anticipated open-source movements and collaborative innovation. Politically, his evolution from loyal subject to revolutionary to constitutional architect mirrors America's development. His ability to balance idealism with pragmatism exemplifies American political tradition. In business, he established the entrepreneurial ideal, the self-made individual achieving success through industry. Yet unlike later glorifications of wealth, Franklin emphasized prosperity should serve both independence and community benefit. His retirement at 42 to focus on science and public service proved wealth was a means, not an end. Most significantly, Franklin helped forge a unified American identity. Before the Revolution, colonists identified with individual colonies or Britain. Franklin's writings created an American character, valuing practical wisdom, social mobility, scientific inquiry, religious tolerance, and civic engagement, balancing personal ambition with public spirit. His influence remains everywhere. Public libraries, volunteer fire departments, civic associations continue his legacy of community self-help. Even American writing style, clear, concise, often humorous, follows his example. In our polarized era, Franklin's life offers desperately needed wisdom. His ability to find common ground without compromising principles provides a model for constructive engagement. Energy and persistence conquer all things, he wrote, and his life proved it. From runaway apprentice to elder statesman, Franklin demonstrated how determination combined with intelligence could overcome obstacles and create lasting achievements. His story reminds us that individuals can shape not only their destinies, but also their societies. You can build yourself. You can improve your community. You can help write the next chapter of the American story. That was Franklin's gift, demonstrating that ordinary people, through extraordinary effort and civic commitment, can leave the world better than they found it. That's not just history. That's a challenge for today.